bring to your attention that since the focus of the meeting is prayer and meditation, and we have speakers, and this is a phone bridge workshop, so it is extremely important that we mute ourselves when we are not talking. Please use the mute key on your telephone when you are not speaking. Hitting the *6 key on your phone pad will also mute. Remember to unmute when you wish to speak and remute when finished. So let's take a breath. And I open this workshop with extended St. Francis prayer to cultivate love and tolerance in the workshop. You may use your hand and open your heart as you say the following silently. To the Supreme God, make me an instrument of your peace. Feel the inner peace of God within you. Allow yourself to be a channel of divine peace. Feel the peace within you. Let it flow to your arms, to your hands. Bless your body. Bless your home. Bless your family. Bless your community. Bless the community of CEA Ha. Bless the earth with peace. Gently and lovingly experience this peace in your heart. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Feel the divine love within you. Allow yourself to be a channel of divine love. Feel this love within you. Feel this love flowing from your heart to your arms and flowing back to your heart. Bless your body, your family, your house, your neighbors, your community, the CEA Ha community, with peace and love. Where there is injury, pardon. Feel the spirit of reconciliation. Allow yourself to be a channel of divine forgiveness, divine reconciliation. Bless yourself, your family, your neighbors, your community, CEA Ha community, planet Earth, with the spirit of forgiveness, reconciliation, understanding, harmony, and peace. Where there is hatred, hope. Where there is doubt, faith. Feel the divine hope and faith. Allow yourself to be a channel of divine hope and divine faith. bless the earth with hope and faith. Bless people who are having a difficult time with hope and faith. Silently tell them, you can make it. Bless them with divine hope and divine faith and divine strength. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Allow yourself to be a channel of divine light and joy. Bless the entire earth with divine light and joy. Bless your body with joy and faith. Bless people who are sad, depressed, and are in pain with divine light and joy. Silently fill them with light and joy. At this point, our brother in the program, Lonnie, will share about love and tolerance and his experience regarding love and tolerance. Lonnie, I will time you. Please let me know, how would you like me to time you?
Lonnie, compulsive eater, and thank you, Nazrin. 5 minute warning, please.
1 minute?
5 minutes, please.
Okay, thank you. Please go ahead.
And I believe my time is set for 30 minutes, correct?
You are correct.
Okay. Nazrin, thank you for your service. I'm so glad to be here today. Thanks to Elizabeth for asking me, and thanks to the workshop committee for having me. When I was asked to do this, and I'm actually a fill-in speaker today, I was so very grateful, so very excited. How can I possibly repay what this program has given to me? And I leapt at the opportunity. But I have to admit that upon accepting the invitation, I hung up the phone and realized, quite honestly, I might possibly be the least qualified person on the planet to speak about love and tolerance, because I come to this program with a philosophy of, if you disagree with me, I hate your guts and hope you die. And that's the best I can do before CHOW and before 12-step recovery and before surrender and before higher power. And so this is an opportunity for me to learn. I was kind of like the Frankfurter standing at the mailbox, and the Frankfurter's got an odd, funny expression, blank look on his face as he's looking at the envelope from the mailbox. And in bold print on the envelope, it says, "Congratulations, you may already be a wiener." And so I had to consider what my role was, what the opportunity was. And as I said, you know, I'm willing. I am a willing participant in my recovery, a willing participant in this program. And I just thought this is an opportunity for me to learn, to grow, and to share my experience, strength, and hope. So I invite everyone here today to sit back, relax, pull up a chair or grab a pillow, and journey with me as I attempt to express what I've learned this day about love and tolerance. Now, I've always said, and probably said it right in this opening, I love the program. I love CHOW. But collectively, to the fellowship, and I'll use the word you, but this is not crosstalk. Collectively, to the fellowship, I will say that I love you for who you are. And I'm not talking about youth or age. I'm not talking about weight loss or length of abstinence. I'm not talking about male or female. I'm talking about all of those P people, who are you, the fellowship, the ones who are here. You've shown me the way. You've given me a solution. You've given me hope. You've given me the truth. You've given me the tools. And I love you. I love the fellowship for what you've done for me. I love the inner beauty that is in you and that is revealed across and through the continents and the telephone lines when you share your experience, strength, and hope and your heart. By profession, I'm a salesman, but in my business, we do a lot of telephone work, telephone sales, and I promote a high-end technical product to industry. But the way we describe it during that process of promoting a product over the telephone line is that when that response happens from a customer and you've got their attention and they're buying what you're selling, the way we describe that is that the phone line goes electric. And I can't tell you how many times that I've been on a phone bridge meeting. The phone bridge is all I've got. You're my people. But when I'm on the phone bridge meeting, I can't tell you how many times that line has just absolutely gone electric with the love and the power and the recovery and the solution and the truth. And so you've given that to me. You've taught me how to love God, how to love my fellow man. You've taught me how to love myself. You've taught me how to give love, how to receive love, how to be loved, and how to accept and own love. And so for that, again, to the fellowship, I say that I really would like to recommend a new slogan for SeeHow, and that is, beauty is only skin deep. Because when I look into your eyes and hear you share your experience, strength, and hope, I see the beauty that is you. And I love you for you. And I thank you for that. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And the only place that phrase is found is page 84 of the Big Book, Into Action. And it follows steps 1 through 9, and it's in the opening paragraph of step 10. So it's a process of continual work and growing that leads me to the concept of love and tolerance as a daily practice. But of course, I believe that the entire program is instilling in me the need to get outside of my ego, to learn and to grow, and to have the ability to not only experience some of these rewards, if you will, that I come here looking for, but to also be able to give back. And I thought it was also interesting that our co-founders defined our program in two words. And they said when it was rendered down to two words, our entire program could be described as love and service. And so I certainly come here looking for love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, recovery. And then if I'm given that, what do I give back? And how do I give that back? And the program and the steps, I believe, give me a path and allow me to do that. But all of that said, as far as a concept and a spiritual way of life, I understand love and tolerance. I understand the concept. I understand the need for it. But how do I actually access that? How do I achieve it? How do I give it? And how do I receive it? And thank goodness you've given me a program and a process for Simple Kid Spiritual Tools. I'll speak first on tolerance because I believe it's a progression. I believe that tolerance may come first. And I believe that tolerance and love, although they're grouped together in this phrase, love and tolerance, of others as our code, I believe they're really quite distinct and quite separate. Because tolerance tells me that I must inhabit the same space as those I disagree with. In other words, I must put up with, I must tolerate. Love takes me to a completely different place. They're both needed. They're both required. They're both valuable. I'll also note that there is one paradox that I found kind of humorous related to tolerance. And I'm supposed to be tolerant. Excuse me, I'm supposed to be tolerant of everyone and everything. But I find it hard to tolerate the intolerant. And so I was amused by that. Tolerance leads me to our philosophy of inclusion and not exclusion. This applies in the program of See How. It applies, of course, like all of our principles do, to my life. And we come to this program from many walks of life, many beliefs, many personalities, many opinions, but we have a common bond, and we need each other, and we need this fellowship. Dr. Bob wrote an article to the Grapevine in 1944, and it was titled Cultivating Tolerance, and he encourages me that I need to consider working on it, spending some time developing tolerance. And he paints a picture of tolerance by describing the hub of a wheel with its spokes radiating out to the rim. And he says that we all start our journey on the circumference or outside of this rim, and that we approach the hub, our common solution, our common bond, our higher power, by one of many roots, experiences, or spokes. And however, Dr. Bob says that after we've achieved some success in program, we might be tempted to promote the idea that we have found the best or shortest spoke, the best path. And here's how he labels this. He says, quite simply, it's an attitude of smugness and superiority. And as far as the effect that it might have on someone that I'm working with, he describes my appearance as obnoxious. So it encourages me that tolerance is a path that's longer and broader than just abstinence and weight loss. As with most of my program, it's about a whole lot more than just abstinence and weight loss. And here's what Dr. Bob says. He says, it is, in fact, a prerequisite, talking about tolerance, it is, in fact, a prerequisite to the successful termination of any line of search, whether it be scientific or spiritual. And, you know, I've displayed my lack of tolerance for a long time. I'm 60 now. And through my life experiences, I've certainly been impatient, judgmental, unforgiving. And yet these are all character defects and egotistical behavior that I need to be free from if I want to experience recovery and if I want to experience the gifts and the love and the rewards that I'm looking for, that I seek, that I have great need for. And so, how do I get there? How does that start? I believe that tolerance, in a way, leads to acceptance, which in the progression of recovery, I believe is a natural occurrence. And I believe that acceptance is another level, possibly somewhere between tolerance and love. And I like the story in the big book, Acceptance Was the Answer, of course, page 417. It says, "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my compulsive eating, I could not stay abstinent. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. And I'll guarantee you, people, I have fought life. I have deemed things unacceptable and written people's names down in my little black book. And I can tell you from experience that it's a dead-end street. It's just a dead-end street." Our other co-founder, Bill Wilson, wrote a very nice letter about love. And he ties it in very strongly to the idea that nothing's going to happen, nothing's possible in this area of love if I don't surrender to this program, this spiritual way of life, this self-examination, writing, sharing with another individual, process of making amends, continued work, working with others, the 12 steps, that I'll instead have a dependence on circumstances. And I've never heard it put this way, because that describes me and my entire past. I thought life was supposed to make me happy. I thought circumstances were supposed to make me happy. But when I couldn't find happiness, Bill's saying that I also couldn't experience love, receive love, or give love. I wasn't capable of it. If God is love, if my higher power is love, then how can I have any connection with that if I've got dependence on circumstances? And here's what he says. He says, "My basic flaw had always been dependent, almost absolute dependence, on people or circumstances to supply me with happiness and the like. Failing to get these things according to my perfectionist dreams and specifications, I had fought for them, and when defeat came, so did my depression, that disconnect from a higher power." He says there wasn't a chance of making the outgoing love of St. Francis's prayer workable and joyous way of life until these fatal and almost absolute dependencies were cut away. Then, and only then, could I be free to love as St. Francis did. Emotional and instinctual satisfactions, again, happiness and the like. Emotional and instinctual satisfactions, I saw, were really the extra dividends of having love, offering love, giving and expressing love appropriate to every relation and situation of life. And I got from that Bill's saying there's so much more than living life on life's terms. Life's terms gets difficult at times. I know that. I realize that. And I can choose to just tolerate it, or I can choose to express love. Love from a higher power. love for my fellow man, love for my surroundings, love for my circumstances, love for myself. Again, give love, receive love, be loved. Allow love to happen. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. That's a prayer that's given to me in times of emotional stress, as I can say it over and over and over. But Bill ties all this in. Dr. Bob encourages me to cultivate tolerance. Bill ties all of this in concerning love to emotional sobriety. And what he's talking about is when I experience recovery, that's a pathway to true love and emotional sobriety, he calls it. And then I might have a shot at achieving some of the love described in the prayer of St. Francis, to be loved as to love, surrender and dependent on a higher power rather than dependent on circumstances. Powerful, powerful stuff. As far as love and tolerance being different, I know today that tolerance is finite. Love is infinite, of course. Tolerance is limited, which leads to love is limitless, knows no bounds. Tolerance is conditional. Obviously, love is unconditional. But I know today that tolerance simply endures. Love encompasses. Tolerance says, it's okay. Love says, I'm okay. Tolerance is caution. Love is trust. Tolerance is a hope. Love is a promise. Tolerance requires effort. Love is a gift. Tolerance is easy. Love is hard. Tolerance. And tolerance is economic. Love, however, costs everything. In the separation of me and my ego, I know today it's a program of ego reduction, ego puncturing, ego diminishing, ego collapse at death. And I know that I must be separated from my ego to come close to accessing the love that's available for me. With love, I put myself on the line. All in. No holding back. Willing to sacrifice my self-interest for the sake of someone else. I have to turn to the Greek philosophers for the definition of love. And they broke it into four categories. Storge, which is familial love or brotherly love, something we have right here in our fellowship. Friendship, philia, or a common bond. Again, that's one of the reasons we're here. Romance or eros, in love. I had sex for the first time when I was 17 years old. I thought that was love. I know today that sex is not love. Sex is a product of love. Sex is a gift of love. And then, of course, agape, or spiritual love, or my higher powers love, unconditional love, boundless love, gift love. Love that is given to me freely. Love that I don't have to earn. The idea of gift love leads me to the greatest love of all, and that's need love. and need love is described as the time I'm in the greatest need is when I receive the greatest love, just as a child running to its mother's open arms. Need love. It's there for me. And that in itself becomes a paradox, because when I'm in the greatest need, I find the greatest relief, the greatest love. When I'm the farthest removed from my higher power is when I access that higher power. When I'm least like my higher power, I'm able to connect with that sovereignty. And that's the kind of love that's available to me. Gift love. Need love. On a personal level, I can tell you that I'm in Austin this weekend. I'm babysitting my 18-month-old grandson while my daughter goes on a business trip. Now, I don't access him until 6 o'clock tonight, so I saw this as a window of opportunity. And again, just very, very grateful that I've been allowed to do this. But didn't have all my tools with me to make this happen, to give this talk. But what a wonderful experience it's been. As a writing desk, I found a large children's book, and it was entitled Huckle Cat and Lowly Worm. And so that was my writing desk. For a highlighter, I was able to locate a crayon and the color rouge. And of course, this is a great time of joy to be here and love and tolerance.
5 minutes.
And thank you, Nazrin. And this opportunity has added to that joy. And I thank you for that. But my daughter, I just finalized her divorce in March. And our only grandson, this boy, is in harm's way. And in addition to that, my daughter completed a barrage of tests this week, and we're waiting for the outcome of those tests now. And as far as love and tolerance, will I be able to break through the pain, the fear, the anxiety? Will I be able to bear the outcome, good or bad? Is it possible that I might display the recovery that I claim in this program? And could it be that I can make the greatest contribution to this situation, to my life and the lives of those around me, by bringing love to all of these activities? That's my hope. That's my promise. And I believe love and tolerance is that simple. It's a gift. It's promised to me. I claim it. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lonnie, for your share and for accepting in such a short notice to share your experience, strength, and hope. Now, Leanne will talk for us about love and tolerance. Leanne has been a symbol of love and tolerance for me. She lives like me in Southern California. And she has several meetings. She used to have a lot of tolerance regarding people that they cannot get that abstinent. I never felt any rejection from Lian. So here we are, Lian, please go ahead and let me know if you want me to time you.
I don't think it's necessary, but if I should start to talk too much, please give me 1 minute.
Sure.
I am Lian, I am a compulsive eater, and I will qualify by saying I came in on May Day of 1991, and everything that I learned and grew up with in my life, I learned wrong, and I had to go back through this program and relearn everything. When I was blessed with a phone call from Nazrin to please help her with this workshop, my first thought was one of the readings that we have in a lot of our meetings, especially in our live meetings, we all need to be loved and accepted, not because we're abstinent, not because we're equal with, just for who we are. And I have clung to that for many, many years. And that's how I try and work with people in this program. Love and tolerance, that's a lot to look at, that's a lot to perform, that's a lot to act on. And yet, through this program, I am given that opportunity. Nazrin asked me to talk about tolerance and patience. And so I had to go to my second Bible, because that's where I find it. I find everything I need in that book. On page 118, it says, patience, tolerance, understanding, and love are the watchwords. Show him these things in yourself, and they will be reflected back to you from him. Live and let live is the rule. And you know, I've been told for years, what you put out there comes back to you. And if I put out anger, I will receive anger. I had a perfect opportunity yesterday, because I have a service dog, and she happens to be a Sheltie. And they had their annual picnic. And everybody brings their dogs, and we get together in a park and have a lot of activities. And they have an area where you can leave your dog free to play. And people that came brought all their animals, and some of them had different kinds of dogs, but they also had their Shelties. And I had the opportunity to sit on the ground and be more at their level. Several, including mine, did not have a leash on at times, and they didn't leave and go stray and wander around. They'd get up and move, but they would stay very close. And if you needed to call them, they would come to you. But they would go to the other dogs, and they would sniff at their ears if they were talking, and they would sniff each other a little bit, and then they'd just go on. It was just fine. They didn't get all excited. I never saw one get upset or excited. And they could be sitting right next to each other or laying next to each other. But they didn't have much to do with the dogs that came and were not sheltered. They accepted them, but it wasn't like they had to go over and say hello. And I think that taught me a lot about my program, because I know when I come into the rooms, whether it's on the phone bridge or in a live meeting, or if I see someone that I know from the fellowship, I have that common bond. I have that acceptance, and I have the understanding that they know my language. And that's what these dogs demonstrated yesterday. They knew that they were a relative of some distance, but they belonged together, and they accepted that. And when they got in the play area, they played, and they played hard. But it was still the idea that they were a part of and one of many. And the only way I got to be a part of and one of many is because people loved me. People loved me until I could love myself. And I didn't know I didn't love myself. But I was very obviously killing myself, and my spirit was dead. And all I needed was for one other person to let me know they cared. When I came into these rooms, I have shared many times, I was a touch me not. Do not touch me. Do not hug me. Keep your distance. I had the wall up, and you could come so far, but that was it. And every day I prayed for people to have the love that I had, and they didn't even know what it was. You people taught me what love is, and you people taught me that I can take that wall down one brick at a time, and I can use that to build a foundation that I can live on today, and it will be strong, and it will be useful, and it will be helpful to others. I need to do that for my program. I need to do that for the health program. I need to carry the message, and I need to carry it well. And the only way I get to learn that is in the room. And you people teach me how to do that. And I get to learn it in the rooms, and then I get to take it out into the world. I had an experience not too long ago, and there was someone that was very upset, and to the point that they would lose their temper, and I could be the buster. And I was many, many times, and I had the opportunity to rebut that. And I chose to rebut it with love, kindness, understanding, patience, and tolerance. The situation at hand went on about 9 days, and during that course of that time, I heard from this other person so many times, my blood pressure's going through the roof. This is terrible. And you don't care. And I said, that's not true. And I have a headache, and I don't feel good. And why isn't anybody doing anything? And I'm so nervous. Now it's being done, and I just can't stand it, and pacing. And then sitting and saying, I think I'm going to have a stroke. And you know, after it was all over, they didn't think it was done exactly right. And they started to raise their voice again. And they said, wait a minute. For 9 days, I've listened to this. And for 9 days, I know you've been upset. But for 9 days, I have practiced patience, tolerance, and love with you. And I've allowed you to work it out the way you chose to. It was a choice. I choose today not to make the choice that you made, but I used to. And today I know better, and I choose to do it differently. And today it doesn't mean I don't care. It means I don't have to get upset about it. I have a place to channel that. And I get to be the example to those that don't know that. And that's what I hope I've been to you. And later that day, I was given an apology for their actions. I didn't need that, but they needed to do that. And of course it was accepted. And the next day, the voice started to go up again, and they said, oh, I'm so sorry, I did not mean to yell. I'm really going to try. What a gift to me to show me that my actions are reflected in others. Does it come back to me that way? Most times, no. But that was a perfect example to me that what I do and how I act is a reflection of my See How program. What I do and how I act is a reflection of how that program is changing me. Am I perfect? No. And am I glad I'm not perfect? You better believe it. Because perfection is not what this is about. This is progress. Page 356, in the big book, of course, it says, the 12 steps, which to me are a spiritual way of living, soon meant honest thinking, not wishful thinking. Open-mindedness, a willingness to try, and a faith to accept. They meant patience, tolerance, and humility, and above all, the belief that a power greater than myself could help. That power I chose to call God. And you know that's what I do today. I choose to leave my difficulties with a power greater than I am. I choose to acknowledge I have a power greater than I am. And I'm not in charge, and I'm not running the show. As a result, I get to live in peace and serenity. I get to share it with other people. I don't have to cram anything down anybody's throat. I get to live it. And what a way to live. What a gift to me. You people have given me that. Every one of you that has ever spoken to me, been around me, that I could observe, I know, without a doubt, you have been a part of my recovery. This is a program of we. There's not one thing in the steps that say I. It is we. And together, we can go the distance. Together, we can make a difference. Together, we can live in peace, harmony, serenity, joy, love, tolerance, acceptance. Absolutely the finest I have ever found. I love every one of you. I wish you all the peace, serenity, and joy that I have found. And thank you again, Matron, for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Leanne. There was a study done on prayer groups several years ago by the chief surgeon at the largest medical center in San Francisco. Without anyone being aware of it, half of 250 patients were assigned to prayer groups that prayed for their well-being. And the other 250 patients had no one praying for them. When the study was over, the statistics were written up. The results were rather astonishing. The 250 people who were chosen at random to be prayed for left the hospital on the average of the 5 days earlier, had fewer infections, fewer preliminary problems, and healed more quickly from a variety of illnesses than the other group that did not pray for had. However, a lot of us find it very difficult to pray for ourselves and love for ourselves. So like every other thing, it has to be cultivated because maybe like myself, nobody showed me how to love myself. My mother didn't know how to love herself. So and I pick it up from her. This meditation for love and tolerance is written to open our heart to love and tolerance first toward ourselves and then get expanded to other people. So may I be filled with love and tolerance. This meditation uses words, images, and feeling to evoke a love and tolerance and friendliness toward oneself and others. With each recitation of the phrases, we are expressing an intention, planting the seeds of loving wishes over and over in our heart. With a loving heart as the background, all that we attempt, all that we encounter, will open and flow more easily. You can begin the practice of love and tolerance by meditating for 15 or 20 minutes in a quiet place. Let yourself sit in a comfortable fashion. So we are getting ready to do this meditation. So sit in a comfortable fashion. Sit with dignity. Let your body rest and be relaxed. Let your heart be soft. Let go of any plans and preoccupations. Begin with yourself. Breathe gently. Just find your breath, go with it, recognize that I am breathing in and I am breathing out. So with a loving heart as the background, all that we attempt, all that we encounter will open and flow more easily. Breathe gently and recite inwardly the following phrases directed to your own well-being. You begin with yourself because without loving yourself, it is almost impossible to love others. So recite with me. Silently, may I be filled with love and tolerance. May I be safe from inner and outer dangers. May I be well in body and mind. May I be at ease and happy. As you repeat these phrases, picture yourself as you are now and hold that image in a heart of love and tolerance. Or perhaps you find it easier to picture yourself as a young and beloved child. Adjust the words and images in any way you wish. Create the exact phrases that best open your heart of tolerance. Repeat these phrases over and over again, letting the feeling permeate your body and mind. Practice this meditation for a number of weeks until the sense of love and tolerance for yourself grows. Be aware that this meditation may at times feel mechanical or awkward. It can also bring up feeling contrary to love and tolerance, feelings of irritation and anger. If this happens, it is especially important to be patient and kind toward yourself, allowing whatever arises to be received in a spirit of friendliness and kind affection. When you feel you have established some stronger sense of love and tolerance for yourself, then you can expand your meditation to include others. So I will repeat the phrases for love and kindness for ourselves two more times. May I be filled with love and tolerance. May I be safe from inner and outer dangers. May I be well in body and mind. May I be at ease and happy. One more time. May I be filled with love and tolerance. May I be safe from inner and outer dangers. May I be well in body and mind. May I be at ease and happy. Now choose a benefactor, someone in your life who has loved and truly cared for you. Picture this person and carefully recite the same phrases. May you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well in body and mind. May you be at ease and happy. So choose a benefactor, someone in your life who has loved and truly cared for you. Picture this person and carefully recite the same phrases. May you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well in body and mind. May you be at ease and happy. Let the image and feelings you have for your benefactor support the meditation. Whether the image or feelings are clear or not, does not matter. In meditation, they will be subject to change. Simply continue to plant the seeds of loving wishes, repeating the phrases gently, no matter what arises. Expressing gratitude to our benefactors is a natural form of love. In fact, some people find love and tolerance for themselves so hard. They begin the practice with a benefactor. This too is fine. The rule in love and tolerance practice is to follow the way that most easily opens your heart. We all love CEA Ha and our fellowship. So let's imagine our fellowship, this wonderful bridge meeting, individual meeting, face-to-face meetings, our funders. And let's repeat these phrases for our fellowship. May our fellowship of CEAHA be filled with love and tolerance. May our fellowship be safe from inner and outer dangers and any separation. May the fellowship be well and whole. May the fellowship be the place of recovery and ease and happiness. Now I do these phrases for our household. So I will do it for my home, and you can imagine your home, your family, your pets, your children, whoever lives with you. And let's recite the phrases. May you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well in body and mind. May you be at ease and happy. I say these phrases, let's consider our neighbors, people who live very close to us, closer than our family member. We see them every day. So I repeat the phrases for my neighbors. I bring them to my mind. I see them. I see their home. And I say that silently. May you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well in body and mind. May you be at peace, ease, and happy. And I repeat this for the whole United States, our beloved country. Let's keep the whole United States in our heart and say, may you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well. May you be at ease and happy for all beings. And let's get the whole planet Earth in our heart and our mind, this beautiful blue pearl, and do the love and tolerance for the whole planet, for our environment. May you be filled with love and tolerance. May you be safe from inner and outer dangers. May you be well. May you be at ease, peace, and happy. When love and tolerance for our benefactor has developed, then we can gradually begin to include other people in our meditation, picturing each beloved person recite inwardly the same phrases, evoking a sense of love and tolerance for each person in turn. After this, we can include others. Spend time to wish well to a wider circle of friends. Then gradually extend your meditation to picture and include community members, neighbors, people everywhere, animals, all being, the whole earth, the whole universe. Finally, include the difficult people in your life, even your enemies, wishing that they too may may be filled with love and tolerance and peace. This will take practice, but as your hearts open, first to loved ones, to yourself, friends, you will find that, in the end, you won't want to close it to anyone. Love and tolerance can be practiced anywhere. You can use this meditation in traffic jams, in buses, in airplanes. As you silently practice this meditation among people, you will come to feel a wonderful connection with them. The power of love and tolerance, it will calm your mind and keep you connected to your heart. At this point, gently open your eyes and get ready to do a deep relaxation. Resting is a precondition for healing. When animals in the forest get wounded, they find a place to lie down and they rest completely for many days. They don't think about food or anything else, and they get the healing they need. When we human get a stress, we may go to pharmacy to get drugs, but we do not stop the way the forest animal do. We have to learn to help ourselves. Stress accumulate in our body. The way we eat, drink, and live takes its toll on our well-being. Deep relaxation is an opportunity for our body to eat, to rest, heal, and be restored. We relax our body, give attention to each part in turn, and send our love and care to every cell. When you breathe in and come back to your body, you may notice there is a lot of tension in your body that prevents you from being relaxed, peaceful, and happy. So you become motivated by a desire to do something to help your body suffer less. With breathing in and breathing out, you can just allow the tension in your body to be released. This is the practice of relaxation. There is also a relaxed way to walk every time you need to move from one place to another. Be aware of your breathing. Match your step with your breath, taking 2 or 3 or 4 steps for each in-breath and each out-breath. As you walk in, you may say to yourself, breathing in, I am aware of my body. Breathing out, I am aware of my body. Breathing in, I release the tension in my body. Breathing out, I release the tension in my body. I know that I need this body to live, so this body is valuable to me. Don't say that I don't have time to practice. The body is a very important barometer. It is the ground and the metaphor of our life. It is the expression of our existence. It is our encyclopedia. It is our life story. Everything that happens to our body is stored and reflected in our body. Body is the marriage of flesh and spirit. Divorce is impossible for body. Don't say, I have no time to practice. We have plenty of time. We don't need to set time apart in order to practice. Whatever the position of the body, whether you are lying, standing, sitting, or walking, you can always release the tension. When you move or walk from the parking lot to your office, you can arrange things so that you can walk as a free person, releasing the tension in your body with each step, adjusting your steps with your breath and coming to the present moment. If you have trouble getting enough sleep, deep relaxation can help. Lying awake on your bed, you can practice deep relaxation and follow your breathing in and out. Sometimes it can help if you get some sleep. But if you don't sleep, the practice can nourish you and allow you to rest. So do not discourage if during this meditation you fall asleep. It is fine. Deep relaxation can help manage our brain and illness. When you pay attention to part of your body that it is hurt, we can learn to recognize and embrace the part of our body and help it to release the tension. Deep relaxation as joy and practice. Having a spiritual practice doesn't only mean we take care of our minds. In CEHA, we weigh and measure our food. Taking good care of our body reduces stress, irritation, nervousness, and anxiety. Our body and mind are two faces of one reality, and they support each other. It is marriage of flesh and spirit. When your mind is agitated, when you feel disturbed by a strong emotion, you have to call upon your body for help. If one of them is not relaxed, the body can't be relaxed. The link between our body and our mind is our heart and our breath. The practice is to lean on our breath and to guide our body to relax deeply, completely, letting every tiny tension in every part of your body. In many spiritual practices, practitioners are advised to visit every part of our bodies with mindfulness from top of our head to the tips of our toes so that we know what is happening inside us. We need to use our mindfulness like a light ray to scan and bring awareness and relaxation to each part of our bodies. In deep relaxation, you practice accepting all parts of your body, even the aching and injured places, understanding them deeply and letting go of tension. You can visit every part of your body with love, care, and tenderness, and without judgment. Deep relaxation is an art that we need to train ourselves in daily so that becomes a good habit for balancing your body and mind. Our body needs to rest, but our mind wants to do many things, And very often we forget our body. Our mind and our body are deeply linked. And when one is overwhelmed, the other can't function. We become stressed and irritable and can lose our temper easily. We can even lose the sympathy of a friend, become unkind to our partner, or make someone frustrated with us. At this point, I will start the deep relaxation guided exercises. Find a place when you can lie down and relax. You can put a pillow, a handkerchief, or towel under your head, as long as it is not too high. Be mindful to be comfortable. Find a comfortable position. Do not sleep on your heart. Be careful of that. Make sure your hand, neck, and spine are aligned and on the same level. Then the releasing of the tension can go smoothly from your head to your neck, shoulders, to your whole body without being blocked. So I wait a few minutes for you to lay down and find a comfortable position. Align your body. Be comfortable. If you feel cold, you can cover yourself. Rest your arms alongside your body. Close your eyes and let go of everything. Don't think about anything. This isn't always easy. We just have to train ourselves. Your mind should be totally focused on your in-breath and out-breath. If you can't easily stop your thinking, if you feel depressed, rest a hand gently on your abdomen and feel it rising and falling as you breath in and out. Let your body and mind relax. So you can put your hand on your abdomen, and as you breathe, you will see how it rises and goes down, and that way you can focus, and that will help you to focus on your breath. As you breathe in and out, be aware of your breathing in and out. Release every tiny tension from top of your head, your brain, and your face, down to your shoulders, through whole body, and down your legs and to the tips of your toes. Breathing in, I am aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I release all tension in my body. Breathing in, I follow the air that enters my lungs and calm every cell of my lung. Breathing out, I let go of all of the air and the worries inside me. in and out. Now I focus my attention on my abdomen. Breathing in, I am aware that my abdomen is rising. Breathing out, I am aware of my abdomen settling down. In, out. In, out. Now I send my love to my forehead. I begin to calm the tension in my forehead and my eyebrows. Breathing in, I am aware of my forehead. Breathing out, I release all the tightness in my forehead and allow it to become smooth and soft. In, out. I smile at my forehead. Now I send my awareness to my eyes. How wonderful my eyes are, my clear and healthy eyes. I only need to open my eyes and I can see a paradise of forms, colors, and the faces of those I love. Breathing in, I am aware of the moisture and the sensitive nature of my eyes. Breathing out, I relax my eyes. I smile to them with joy and gratitude. In, breathing in, I am aware of my eyes, the windows to the world of color and form. Breathing out, I am grateful for my eyes. Now I send my awareness to my ears. I am so happy that my ears connect me to the world by the way of sound. Through my ears, I can touch the voices of the breeze, hear the voices of my beloved ones. I can participate in the bridge meeting. Breathing in, I am aware of my ears. Breathing out, I smile with thanks to my ears. In, breathing in, I am grateful of my ears, and breathing out, I smile at my ears. Now I send my awareness to my mouth. my dear Maud, you do so much for me by helping me make contact with the world by eating, breathing, and speaking. It is so wonderful to do not have a toothache. It is a mouth which can smile, a tongue which can swallow, and a throat that which can help me sing. Breathing in, I smile with gratitude to my mouth. Breathing out, I relax all muscles in my jaw, in tongue, and throat, and lips. Breathing in and breathing out, I become aware of my mouth. Now I send my awareness to my neck and shoulders, my beloved neck and shoulder. You work so hard every day of my life to allow my head and my arms to be still or to move. I am grateful that you are so steady and strong and reliable. Breathing in, I send my love and my care to my neck and to my shoulders. Breathing out, I smile and relax all the muscles and every joint in my neck and my shoulders. Breathing in and breathing out, I bless my neck and my shoulder. Now I send my attention to my arms and my hands. All day you perform such wonderful tasks, writing, cooking, driving, playing music, carrying and caressing, holding tight and letting go, whatever it is I ask you to do. Breathing in, I smile to my arms and my hands. Breathing out, I release all the tension in every joint and muscle of my arms, my elbows, my forearms, my wrist, my palms, and my fingers. Breathing in and out, smile at your arms and your hands. Now I send my love and my care to my lungs. From the moment I was born, my lungs worked and is working day and night with never a rest to help me touch the world of air. You bring me, my lung, the food or oxygen for my blood, and you take away the air which has been transformed by my body. You filter away infection and pollution, and I am grateful. Thank you for giving me the oxygen my body needs. Thank you for the breath of life. Breathing also allows us to talk, sing, and other noises. Breathing, also called respiration, is carried out by part of the body that together make up the respiratory system. They include the mouth, nose, throat, windpipe, and lungs. Breathing in, I smile to my lung and my respiratory system. Breathing out, I breathe smoothly and gently and refresh every cell in my lungs. Now I send my loving thought to my heart. It is such a miracle that I have a heart, so reliable, pumping my blood so well, feeding my brain, my muscles, my digestive system, my bones, my nerve, my lungs, my skin, my organs, day and night, with no stopping. My beloved heart, you keep everything in my body well fed and taken care of, everything like a good parent. Breathing in, I smile and give thanks to my heart. Breathing out, I vow to take care of my heart by eating well, exercising, and relaxing. So breathing in, I smile to the heart and my circulatory system with numerous blood vessels that keep my body healthy and fit. I am grateful for my circulatory system and its complex network consisting of delicate tubes that carry blood to all parts of the body and back to the heart. I am grateful for my heart, arteries, veins, capillaries. I am grateful that my heart is healthy and it is working, and I am able to participate in this meeting. In and out, I smile at my heart. Now I send my love to my other organ, my liver, my kidney, my stomach, my bladder, my intestine. You do so much, a complex job, so well, to help transform the fruits of the earth into energy so I can live. Breathing in, I see you are like my roots and my leaves, and I smile at all the good work you do. Breathing out, I vow to remember the difficulties you encounter when I don't take good care of you and eat or drink stuff that it is not good for me without consideration of your well-being. I will remember to do not cause you hard time and will give you a chance for peace and rest. Breathing in, I smile at my amazing liver. This largest internal organ and the busiest organ of the body. My beloved liver processes sugar and fat for storage, manufactures bile for digestion, and contain a reservoir of blood that it is released if the body loses too much blood. Breathing in, I smile at my amazing liver. Breathing out, I bless my liver. Breathing in, I bless my pancreas, this very small but important organ that it is situated behind the stomach, and it releases enzymes that breaks up protein, fat, and carbohydrate into the small intestine. Without the pancreas, my body cannot produce the enzyme, and I will get starved even if I overeat. Breathing in, I bless my pancreas, who produces insulin and glucose, which maintains the glucose level in the body and prevents diabetes. Breathing in, breathing out, I bless my internal organ, my stomach, my digestive system. Now I send my awareness to my legs and my feet. Breathing in, I smile to the collection of bones and muscle and nerves, which allows me to travel all over the earth, to swim, to jump, to dance, to climb, to run, and to stand still. Breathing in, I bring my consciousness to my wonderful legs and to my wonderful feet. Breathing out, I let go of all the tension in all my muscles, all my joints, in my legs, and in my feet. Breathing in, breathing out, I pay my attention to my legs and my feet. Now I send my love and my attention to my brain. Thank you for being there, and thank you for making certain that all these parts of my body work together. Thank you for allowing me to read and speak, to remember, to forget, to see. The spiritual awakening in the fellow sponsee, to see my child growing and developing to an adult person, to see everything are connected and there is no individuality and separation, to see the rain in my tears and the ocean in the cup of empty. Breathing in, I am aware of how busy you like to be, my brain, and how you take your responsibilities so seriously. Breathing out, I give my mind the permission to relax for a little while, putting off the back burner all irritation, all worries, all fears, all sadness. Offer your mind the kind of gift of relaxation and ease. Our mind likes to have something to do all of the time, so give it something which is nice and easy to dwell on. The gift of relaxation. Breathing in, I am aware that I am breathing in. Breathing out, I am aware that I am breathing out. In and out. At this point, please allow your body to wake up slowly and gently. Thank you for being here with me, my dear friends of CEA House. If you are at this point in total relaxation, you can remain in that situation, turn off the telephone. If anybody would like to do any sharing, please go ahead and share. Meeting is open. We have 15 minutes for sharing.
Master, would you like me to continue to record this meeting?
We can finish the recording, then people are free to talk. So if people don't want to get recorded, it can be anonymous.
Thank you. I'm going to stop the recording right now.
Thank you very much. Anybody would like to share?